Picture this. You're on a solo cross-country. Your first real one outside the training area. You land at your destination, tie down, pull your bags out of the back seat, and head inside to find something cold to drink. 2 hours later, you're still at the FBO, talking to a guy who flies a Mooney, and your phone hasn't rung once. Nobody missed you. Nobody was even counting. I'm Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today I want to talk about one of the most consistently overlooked tools in cross-country planning, the VFR flight plan. Not flight following, not an instrument flight rules clearance. The actual file before you go, activate on the radio. Close, when you land flight plan that most general aviation pilots in this country never use. And I want to explain why that matters, how it works, and how to build it into your routine before your next cross-country leaves the ground. Quick word from our friends at aviationsoul.com before we get into it. They make challenge coins for pilots at every stage of the journey. First solo, private pilot certificate, instrument rating, commercial, all of it. If you're in training right now or you know someone who is, check them out. It's a great way to mark the milestones that actually mean something. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. The first thing I need to clear up, because I have had this conversation with students more times than I can count, is that a VFR flight plan and VFR flight following are two completely different services. They are not interchangeable. They do not overlap. And confusing the two can cost you in a way that only becomes obvious when something goes wrong. Flight following is radar contact with air traffic control. A controller knows where your transponder is on the scope. If you drop off radar and don't respond on the radio, the controller will make a call or two. Wait a minute, maybe get the next facility to check, and then put your beacon code up for someone else. There's no formal search process triggered. No notification goes up the chain. The controller's job is traffic separation, not surveillance. When their shift ends, you are not their responsibility anymore. A VFR flight plan is something different. It's a commitment to the flight service system. You file it, you activate it, and when you arrive, you close it. If you do not close it within 30 minutes of your estimated arrival time, the Leidos Flight Service Station, which operates under contract with the Federal Aviation Administration, begins making contact attempts, phone calls to your destination airport, radio calls, emergency contact calls. If they cannot locate you, it escalates to the Air Route Traffic Control Center and from there to search and rescue coordinators. That escalation is the point. That escalating clock is the safety net that flight following cannot give you. So let's talk about actually using this. You file through Leidos Flight Service. The most common way is through 1-800-WX-BRIEF, which stands for 1-800 Weather Briefing, or through the online portal at 1800WXBrief.com. If you use 4Flight or Garmin Pilot, both apps connect directly to the Leidos system and let you file, activate, and close from within the app. Whichever method you use, the form asks for the same information: your aircraft tail number and type, your true airspeed in cruising flight, your departure airport, your proposed departure time in coordinated universal time, your cruising altitude, your route of flight, your destination, your estimated time on route. Fuel on board listed in hours and minutes, the number of people on board, and an emergency contact name and phone number. Let me pause on a few of those. Fuel on board is one of the most important fields. This is what the system uses to set the urgency threshold. If nobody closes your flight plan and your stated fuel load would have been exhausted, that's when the response level escalates significantly. Be honest with this number. Do not round up. Do not put in the maximum fuel your aircraft could theoretically carry. Put in the actual fuel you have in hours and minutes, accounting for normal cruise burn. If you have 3 hours and 45 minutes of fuel, write 3 hours and 45 minutes. Emergency contact is the other one. Give them a real phone number for someone who actually knows your plans. Not just a next of kin. Someone who can confirm where you are going, roughly what time you plan to arrive, and who will answer the phone when flight service calls at 9 o'clock at night. Build that expectation with whoever you list. Tell them before you leave. Say, I filed a flight plan. I expect to land around 4:30. And if flight service calls you, this is what that means. Now, here's the part that trips pilots up every single time. Filing is not the same as activating. You can file a flight plan before you even get to the airport. The night before, from your couch, is perfectly fine. But a filed flight plan is not an active one. You have to open it. You do that by calling flight service on the radio, usually on 122.2, which is the common flight service frequency, or by phone before you depart. You give them your tail number, confirm your filed flight plan is in the system, and tell them you're ready to open it. They'll confirm the time. That's your activation. If you filed through 4Flight or Garmin Pilot, those apps have a built-in activation button that sends the notification directly through Leidos. That works too. Just confirm you got the acknowledgement back before you taxi. And when you land, closing is your responsibility. Always. Close on the radio while you're still rolling out if you can get flight service. Close by phone from the FBO, close through the app. The method doesn't matter. What matters is that you close it. Set a reminder on your phone the moment you touch down, if you have to. Some pilots set a 5-minute timer as part of their landing checklist. That's a habit worth building. Here's what happens when you forget, and pilots forget more than you'd think. Flight service calls your destination airport. If the FBO is closed, nobody answers. They call your emergency contact. If your emergency contact doesn't pick up, the clock keeps running. Depending on how late into your fuel window you are, search and rescue may be notified. Local law enforcement may be dispatched. A civil air patrol search may be initiated, all because you were tired and went straight to the rental car counter without closing the plan. This is not hypothetical. Unnecessary SAR activations happen regularly. The Civil Air Patrol responds to hundreds of false alarms every year. Many of them are forgotten flight plans. The resources are real. The cost is real. And the embarrassment when they find you at a hotel down the street from the airport is genuinely memorable. Let's talk about the route field, because this one matters in a survival context. File the route you actually plan to fly, not a simplified version, not a straight line if you're going to route around airspace or weather. If you file direct and then deviate 40 miles around a line of buildups and something goes wrong, search and rescue is going to start looking along your filed route. If you're on the other side of a ridge from where they're searching, that discrepancy costs time. Time is the thing you don't have. If you deviate significantly from your filed route in flight, call flight service and update them. Tune 122.2, give them your tail number, and tell them you're amending your route. 30 seconds, that's it. If you're in an area where flight service radio coverage is marginal, they operate remote communication outlets all over the country, and 4Flight can show you which frequencies and outlets are in range at your altitude. Use them, altitude works the same way. File what you're actually going to fly. If you're doing a long cross country and you plan to cruise at 6,500, file 6,500, not 8,500, because it sounds better on paper. Altitude affects radar coverage, communication range, and the search corridor if someone is looking for you. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate include cross-country planning as a core task. The examiner wants to see that you can select a route, identify checkpoints, calculate time between waypoints, and identify suitable emergency landing areas along the way. The VFR flight plan feeds directly into this. A well-prepared cross-country has a filed flight plan. A pilot who can explain why they file one, how they activate it, and what happens if they don't close it. That is, a pilot telling the examiner they have thought seriously about what happens when the flight does not go according to plan. That is what the check ride is really testing. Not whether you can execute the plan, whether you've thought through the failure modes. Here's the scenario I want you to sit with. You're crossing the southern Sierra Nevada in a Cessna 172 on a day that looked clear when you left. Clouds are building faster than the morning forecast suggested. The terrain is compressing your options. You make the right call and divert to a small strip you can see below you. You land safely. But it's a remote strip. The FBO closed at 5. Your phone is out of battery, and there's no one around. If you filed a VFR flight plan and activated it, flight service starts making contact attempts within 30 minutes of your missed arrival. They call your destination. They call your emergency contact. If they can't reach anyone and your fuel window is narrowing, search and rescue gets notified. Eventually, someone starts looking. If you were only on flight following, the approach controller lost your transponder when you descended into the terrain, reassigned your code, went home. That is the difference. That is the whole argument. The FAA does not require VFR pilots to file a flight plan. That's intentional. The National Airspace System isn't built to mandate surveillance of every visual flight. The VFR flight plan only works because you choose to use it. And the data from the AOPA Air Safety Institute, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, suggests that the vast majority of general aviation cross-countries are flown every day without one. That is a missed opportunity, a 4-minute filing that costs nothing and creates a safety net that no piece of avionics in your panel can replicate. Build it into your routine before your first solo cross-country, before your check ride, before you go anywhere outside gliding distance of an airport you know. File, activate, close in that order. Every time today's information comes from the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, Chapter 5, and from resources published by the AOPA Air Safety Institute. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. See you next time.